Hey, moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of 4 books. I keep wanting to say 3, but it is 4 now. The Unhurried Homeschooler, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, The 4-Hour School Day, and Raising Boys to Men. Raising Boys to Men is my latest publication, just came out about a month ago. And oh my goodness, it's been so much fun to see how well received this message has been. I'm getting pictures from moms about things that their boys are doing that they used to be perplexed by, and now they're looking at it and just laughing and enjoying this adventure together with their boys. So if you have not checked out Raising Boys to Men, please go and do so. You can find it at Amazon. Super simple. All my books are on Amazon. You can also, if you want to, wait for the audiobook. It will be coming out very soon, April 15th. So that will be available at my website exclusively, dorendawilson.com/audiobooks. And so I hope you'll go and take advantage of that if that's the way you like to take in books. Otherwise, you can find the printed copy and Kindle on Amazon also. At my website exclusively, we have another audiobook available if you're an audiobook fan, The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling. This is a book I wrote about 8 years ago, and it has sold around 50,000 copies, which is unheard of for a self-published book. And all I did was just write from my heart as a mom, and it just happened to resonate with a whole lot of other moms out there. So if you haven't read that or listened to it, I encourage you to do that. You can find the printed copy on Amazon, and again, the audiobook at dorendawilson.com/audiobooks. I am going to be at several conferences this year, so I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. I'd love to meet you in person. I'm going to be in Tennessee here pretty soon, May 2nd to the 4th at the Pigeon Forge Teach Them Diligently Conference. I hope to meet you there if you're planning to come, or if you're not planning to come, plan to come. Come and meet me. I'd love to see you. I'd love to talk with you. Anyway, I'll leave that link in the show notes for you. Also, I'm doing an online session for my friends in Canada at homeschooljourneynovascotia.ca. So I'll leave a link in the show notes for that as well if that's a conference you would like to attend. I'll be doing a live Zoom session and a Q&A following. Now, if you've got teens, be sure to listen after the prayer today at the end of this episode to hear about an opportunity you will not want to miss. I also need to know if you're looking for new math curriculum, because you guys, CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animations synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray makes learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed and Kathy Duffy's 103 top picks, as well as the Old Schoolhouse Crew review. CTC fares very well on all of those. The lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Today, we're going to be talking about ways to recognize and honor your child's personality. We all know they're all so different. I remember looking at our first two daughters, you know, same gender, could not be more polar opposite in personality. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the problems that caused us and how we work through that when we dive into a little more on kind of figuring out your child's personality. All right. Before I do that, I have to tell you about Heritage Defense. This is our other sponsor, and I just absolutely love them. You know, we live in love, not in fear, but the possibility of being falsely reported to CPS is a real cause for concern, especially in light of unexpected situations like what happened to my family. And I'll leave a link to that episode in the show notes. But what if there's a situation with potential risk that has not yet materialized? Is there a law you're concerned about that you would like to understand better? You may not need legal representation, but legal advice would be extremely useful. Christian homeschool families can experience this peace of mind by joining Heritage Defense. Members can schedule free consultations with Heritage Defense attorneys to receive expert advice in these complicated situations. Find out more to apply for membership at heritagedefense.org in the show notes. Okay, moms, we know God uniquely designs each of our children, and it's so helpful to have a little better understanding of those basic uniquenesses to nurture best, to nurture our kids the best way, and to grow them into who God created them to be. I mentioned our two oldest kids were both girls, and they couldn't be more different in personality. I remember saying to my husband, it's hard to believe that these two people came from the same parents because the set of uniquenesses between them were so different that it was a little tough to navigate at times. But, you know, you've probably heard of personality tests. We pretty much all have by now. And there are lots of personality tests out there. Some are way more complicated than others. I personally do not encourage diving too deep into these personality tests because very quickly, it can become an idol. We can become very self-focused, self-absorbed, and we live in a culture that just thrives on that. So as believers, we have to be careful that we have self-discipline and discernment, that we don't let these things become idols to us. We serve one God. He is our master. We do not serve ourselves. We do not serve the culture. We don't serve our personalities either. And so that's really a strong point that I want to make in all of this in talking to you and familiarizing you a little more with different personalities is not telling you that you have to serve that personality. What it means is, and that child, what it means is that, and not indulge them. This is the other thing. I think sometimes we learn about the personalities of our children and we begin to indulge them because we say, oh, well, that's just how he's wired. Well, you know what? We need to be super careful because we can end up excusing sin in the lives of our children, and we do not want to do that. That is not our role as parents. Our role as parents is to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to address sin issues along the way. So there are good reasons for being more familiar with personalities, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. One thing I do want to mention before I do that is the Enneagram. This has been a super popular personality test over the last several years, and I have some huge cautions with this test. Most of it is actually explained in an article on gotquestions.org that I will leave a link in the show notes to. It really does a good job of explaining a biblical perspective on the Enneagram personality test, because we know that we have people who have studied the Enneagram and then they have taken what actually wasn't originally a biblical or Christian idea and they have Christianized it. So I believe there are books out there, or a book in particular, that the Christian's Guide to Enneagrams. And so huge caution here. I wouldn't really even necessarily go there, quite frankly. And if you read the article, it will help you better understand why. And that's not the topic of this episode. So I want to stay focused on recognizing and honoring our child's personality right now. So, but this also helps explain why I'm sticking to a simpler version of a personality test. And essentially what it is it covers the four personalities. So general personalities: sanguine, choleric, melancholy, and phlegmatic. They used to go just by those names because those are kind of the original names for them. But I found those hard to remember. And I found Gary Smalley years ago had put out a lot of really good information on this when he did a lot of premarital counseling and marriage counseling videos, which my husband and I benefited greatly from, both pre-marriage and our early marriage. And then we were able to take a lot of what we learned and used it with our kids. And that was so incredibly helpful. But he labeled them all as animals, and it made it so much easier to remember. So a lion, a beaver, a golden retriever, and an otter. And I'm going to more fully explain each of those in just a few minutes, because I know what'll happen as I go through the list of characteristics. One or more of your kids is going to pop in your head. It just happens. You go, oh, that's him. That's totally him. And that's what I want to happen. I want you to really be able to hone in on that, because what we can do with this can be so incredibly helpful for both our parenting directly with our children and within our sibling relationships between our children. Okay, so one of the reasons I wanted to cover this topic is because it helps us cue in on certain God-given character traits so we can better train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this is why we take the time to just sort of just focus on this briefly so that we have better information to go off of. We're more well-equipped to again cue in on those God-given character traits in our children so we can better train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the nurture and admonition of the Lord and our parental, biblical parental role is the overarching authority, okay? So God's word is the authority here, but this is really good information to have. Another reason is because it helps encourage and nurture the strengths that each of our children have, but also help with the weaknesses. And again, deal with sin appropriately, okay? We can use this information to help our children in their sibling relationships to learn that there are a lot of different kinds of people in the world, and to learn to respect others' strengths and be gracious with their weaknesses. So there are things that are hard for one personality type that are not hard for another personality type. And so it can be very easy for, if it's easy for one personality type and it's hard for another, it's easy for the person that it's easy for to judge the person that it's hard for as though they were somehow less than, because that doesn't come as easily for them as it does for the person who's doing the judging. Hopefully that makes sense. It's easy to be prideful and judge unfairly if we don't understand that there are lots of different kinds of people in the world. And again, to grow in our respect of other people's strengths and be gracious with their weaknesses. It also helps us love them better. You know, that God calls us to love God and love each other. Basically, love God and love your fellow man. Those are the two greatest commandments in the Bible. And all the other commandments pretty much fall under those two categories. And so we want to teach our kids how to better love others, and specifically those who are different than us. And again, we're not talking about sin issues. We're not talking about morality issues. We're talking about just wiring issues. I like to think of it like as an apple and an orange. You know, like they're not the same. They're both fruits, right? But they're not the same. They're not used in the same way. They wouldn't be good used in the same way. Some things can be used in the same way and they're good, but others totally not. For instance, you can make apple juice or orange juice and they're both good. They do serve different purposes because they have different vitamins and minerals and effects on the body, but they're both good juiced. However, I would not want an orange pie. An apple pie? Heck yeah, I love apple pie. But I'm sorry, nobody's heard of or wants an orange pie, right? And so this is kind of one simplified way to look at personalities. Look, I'm not comparing apples with apples. I'm comparing an apple with an orange. And so, and a lot of times within our own families, there will be several varieties of fruits, okay? So we need to be aware of that because, again, it's going to help us parent more effectively, do our job, obey God more effectively, which is to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as we're teaching our kids that there are different kinds of people in the world, in fact, there are different kinds of people within our own household, and what better place for our kids to learn this than in the day in and day out of family life together. Because chances are, when they grow up and they're exposed to different personality types, they're not going to have to live with them. You know, maybe a spouse, some children or whatever. But in the end, at the end of the day, this idea of our kids learning this as siblings is incredibly powerful because it prepares them so well and trains them so well to be able to function well in the world in a variety of situations with a variety of different personalities because they understand them. And I've seen this happen with our kids. So because they understood so many different types of personalities, when they went into their work situations as adults, they could look at another employee, watch their responses to things, or a fellow employee, watch their responses to things, see how they handled stress and things like that, and immediately know, oh, they're like my brother Luke. So this is the best way to communicate with him. This is the healthiest way. This is the way that will be the most effective, the most loving, but also the most effective. So this is why it's so important for us to have an understanding of this and to teach it to our children. And it's something we can just, that's observable just along the way in everyday life. We don't need a curriculum for this. We don't, you know, you're welcome to take the little brief, short personality test, which I'm going to include a link in the show notes. It's fun to know what you are. It's fun to know what your spouse is. It helps you understand each other better. And then it's fun for each of your kids. There's a brief personality test, and I think it's more for adults. So I'll include that one and I will include the one for kids. And I think it's Gary Smalley and John Trent who put it together. And John Trent is, I believe, the one who wrote the books on love languages, which is a whole other topic we could talk about. Just knowing a bit about your child's personality and their love languages is so incredibly helpful. But today we're going to focus on personality. So as we're teaching our kids, look, so-and-so, your brother, is very different than you. And here are the ways that he's different. But here are the ways that he is strong. And here are the ways that he might struggle. And you can love him better by doing this. Or as the scripture says, you can spur him on to love and good works. We think about this in Hebrews 10:24 is where I'm getting this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. If we and our children know something about the different personalities and have a little better understanding of each other, it's going to help us spur each other on to love and good works. Instead of discouraging and exasperating each other, we know better how to do what the scripture says, spur each other on toward love and good deeds. And then Colossians 3 verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So this bearing with each other, it is easier to bear with someone when you have a better understanding of where they're coming from. Now, this requires a certain amount of empathy, and that's something our kids have to grow in as we teach them how to do that. And one of the ways that we did this was when our kids would have an argument, we would stop and say to one, are you treating your brother the way you want to be treated? It's the golden rule. It's that second commandment, loving our brothers, right? Love God and love each other. And then we would ask the other child that, are you treating him the way you want to be treated? And inevitably, the answer would be no. And that's our starting point because that is what scripture says we're supposed to do. We're supposed to treat each other the way we want to be treated. So this has to do with empathy. It has to do with them learning to put themselves in the other person's position. So if they have an understanding of the other child's personalities and the way that they're different than them, it makes it easier for them to stop and say, okay, wait, he is a lion. That means that he sees things more this way, and I should say things this way. So again, this is a process. This doesn't happen overnight. It just happens in little at a time over as we practice it over and over and over again. So the other thing I want to just reiterate again is for us as parents is when we know better our children's personalities, it helps us know whether or not they are sinning, okay? And so something I like to always remind parents of when they're disciplining their children is stop and think about whether what they're doing is childishness or foolishness. And the book of Proverbs does a good job of differentiating between the two. So I'll give you an example. So let's just say that you've got a child at the table and he accidentally knocks over a glass of milk. Now, if you have said to the child and given them a heads up not to be wild at the table, but to stay still and to sit still and eat their food, and they choose to do otherwise and spill the milk, that is foolishness. And there should be consequences for that. However, if it's just an accident, they're uncoordinated, they reached for something and accidentally knocked it over, that is childishness, and that's not worthy of consequences. And so again, going back to our children's personalities, it helps us understand whether or not they're actually sinning or whether or not they're just being, it's a childish or a weakness that they happen to have because of the type of personality they have. Now, that is not an excuse for sin and definitely something we want to work on, but it doesn't need to be responded to harshly, if that makes sense. And this is a way for us to live in understanding, to bear with each other, to forgive, and to spur each other on toward love and good works. Okay, this isn't just, I'm reading those verses out of the New Testament because those are our instructions from the Lord to us in terms of how we treat each other as the body of Christ. But we should be teaching our children all of those exact same things as we're nurturing their sibling relationships, because the same rules, the same principles apply. Okay, so let's talk about the four different personality types. Now, what's going to happen is nobody is all one, only one personality type. What you'll find is that there's an overarching strong personality type with a secondary kind of close on its heels. This is what I found typical, especially with my kids, because they're immature. They'll have that primary one and then a secondary one. And the other two, like there's hardly anything in those other two areas, other two personalities that they possess. But the goal is, and I think, well, I don't know if it's a goal, but I think that what I've found is that as I have matured, as my husband has matured, we have seen ourselves more balanced across the board with more characteristics from all four categories as the Lord has grown the fruits of the Spirit in us over the years. So that's something that's kind of interesting to watch as well. And that's when you find as we mature and grow, we become more well-balanced. But we're in the primal stage here with our kids where they're just sort of like the raw material and they're in the raw personality, as little ones and toddlers and preschoolers and especially four-year-old boys. Oh my goodness. Quick reminder, do not judge your son's, what he's going to be like as an adult when he's 4 years old. Quick reminder, I've shared this before, but the amygdala is going through some huge developmental leaps when a little boy is 4 years old. And so what ends up happening is he ends up in fight or flight mode really, really quickly. And that's how they end up being so impulsive. I talked about this when I was talking with my son a few episodes ago, when your boy runs hot, and he was our boy that ran hot. And now he's an adult and has been complimented and noted for his patience. Did not see that coming at 4 years old. So that was just a little bonus encouragement for all you moms of four-year-old boys out there. All right, so let's start with the lion, okay? You can probably imagine what the lion might be like. The strengths of a lion tend to be that they are a visionary, so very goal-oriented, practical, productive, strong-willed, independent, decisive, and a leader. Now, the weaknesses for the lion are that they can be cold, domineering, unemotional, self-sufficient, unforgiving, sarcastic, and cruel. At times, it doesn't mean they are those things all the time, but a lot of times when that personality is under pressure, that is what will come out, the saving grace of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit, eventually producing the fruits of the Spirit instead. But yes, this is part of that personality. And so these descriptions I got from the links that I'm going to be sharing in the show notes. Some other character qualities or traits in a lion personality as they take charge. They're determined and assertive and firm and enterprising and competitive. They enjoy challenges. They can be bold, purposeful, a decision maker, a leader, goal-driven, self-reliant, adventurous. And their sort of like underlying theme is, let's do it now. Okay, that is totally my husband, all right? Now, let's move on to beavers, okay? You can imagine, think about a beaver. The strengths of a beaver: analytical, self-disciplined, industrious, organized, aesthetic, sacrificing. Some weaknesses that a beaver may have: moody, self-centered, touchy, negative, unsociable, critical, and revengeful. Here are a few more characteristics that could be part of a beaver personality: deliberate, controlled, reserved, predictable, practical, orderly. Now, they won't necessarily be all of these things, moms, but like if you can say like most of these are this child's personality, then that is probably their number one personality trait. Okay, so factual, discerning, detailed, analytical, inquisitive, precise, persistent, scheduled. And their sort of underlying theme is, how was it done in the past? So we've done the lion, the beaver. Now we're going to cover the otter. Here are the strengths, potential strengths of an otter. They're outgoing, responsive, warm, friendly, talkative, enthusiastic, and compassionate. Their weaknesses can be that they're undisciplined, unproductive, they exaggerate, they can be egocentric, and unstable. Some more potential character qualities of an otter: takes risks, visionary, motivator, energetic, very verbal, promoter, avoids details, fun-loving, likes variety, enjoys change, creative, group-oriented, mixes easily, optimistic. Their mantra, or maybe their underlying theme, would be, trust me, it'll all work out. Golden Retriever. Here are some strengths of the Golden Retriever: calm, easygoing, dependable, quiet, objective, diplomatic, and humorous. Some of their weaknesses can be selfish, stingy, procrastinator, unmotivated, indecisive, fearful, and worrier. Other potential character qualities: loyal, non-demanding, even keel, avoids conflict, enjoys routine, dislikes change, deep relationships, adaptable, sympathetic, thoughtful, nurturing, patient, tolerant, good listener. And their sort of underlying mantra is, let's just keep things the way they are. So there you have it. There are the four, just sort of a flyover of the four different personalities. And as you probably have guessed, if you've got a Golden Retriever, you've got a child who has to learn to be more direct and not afraid to communicate clearly, which means we have to create a safe environment for them to be able to express themselves. And we have to give them the time and the space to do that. They will stay quiet if you allow them to stay quiet. You have to draw them out. And then on the flip side, you've got your lions that need to learn to soften their tone and change their words to better communicate in a way that's more winsome. And specifically when they're speaking with or engaging with a golden retriever. So without this understanding, there could be some major damage across the board. And so we want to really be aware of the potential communication misfires that can happen, specifically when you've got two very different personalities. And one of the ways that we did that was to use drive-through talking. And I actually did an episode on that quite a while back. I will include a link in the show notes to that because I go more specifically into what that looks like. But essentially, it's something I started doing with our oldest two daughters that I described earlier, who were very, very different. And it's like they couldn't speak to each other without there being sparks because they weren't actually hearing each other. There was a communication misfire going on that we didn't understand until we sat down and had them do drive-through talking. So we would have a situation, I'd sit down with both of them. And the only reason we just started doing this, first of all, is because I had heard of this through Gary Smalley. One of the things that he taught was drive-through talking in marriage and in relationships, if you want to have better relationships. And so I had remembered that from back then. And so I pulled that into my parenting when I realized these girls just could never say anything nice to each other or ever have a conversation that was pleasant. And I just looked at both of them and said, do you like where your relationship is going? Are you happy with the communication, with the way you feel when you're talking to each other? And neither one of them were. They said, no, we hate it. We don't like it, but we don't know what to do about it. So that's when I sat down with them and started this drive-through talking. And I had, you know, we'd get a situation that was in front of us and that had happened. And I would sit them both down and say, okay, I want you to tell her what happened and like how it made you feel. What was your takeaway from the situation? And keep it as brief as possible. And then I would have the other person tell them, this is what I hear you saying. And the first time we did this, I was like, were you even in the same room at the same time? Because what the other person heard was so different than what the person was saying. And this happens so much in conversations and in communication, and we don't even realize it. And so we started practicing that. And so what we did was at that point, I would have that person listen again. Okay, I want you to listen again to what your sister has to say. And then have that sister maybe try to say it in a little different way so that her sister would actually hear what she was trying to communicate. So that's a super effective way to help with those communication misfires. A few episodes ago, I did an episode on tips for working through conflict with other believers. And I included this idea that we have to stop and ask ourselves when there's a problem, what we call a dust up, is it a communication misfire? Is it that we just disagree on something? Because that can also be the case. We don't have to agree on everything. It's okay to learn to agree to disagree. And again, with the different personality types, you're going to have that happen. The perspective that a golden retriever has on a situation versus a lion is going to be very, very different. It doesn't mean that neither of them have something to contribute to the situation. It's just they have very different perspectives and they're going to take a very different approach. And that's one thing that, again, is so helpful with the sibling relationships because, you know, what our kids learned was, oh my goodness, I have a problem. I'm just going to give you an example. I have a problem with Luke and I need to talk it out with him. Mom told me I should just go to him with it. And so, I would always encourage that. So they own that topic together or that conflict. And I would go with them, be part of it if they wanted me to. But basically what they could think as they were learning and being trained in this is they would go, okay, I have a problem with Luke. He's been doing this and it really bothers me and this is why. Okay, so when I go to talk to Luke, I need to do it in a way that I'm not angry. Because if a lion senses that somebody is powering up, their instant knee-jerk response is to power up back. And then it just becomes a situation where there's sparks flying. So going to that person and saying, hey, listen, I'm not quite understanding why you're doing this. Can you explain it to me a little better, why you're doing this? And then they listen to understand. And then they say, maybe after that, like, I would really like you to not do that anymore. And here's why. Okay. Obviously, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen with a 4 or 5 or 6-year-old. This is a process, moms. This is where we want to get our kids to. We want to get them to that point. So we want to look at this as we're looking for progress, not perfection. So these different personalities are also important to know, because a lot of times if we've got a project we're working on, we can do one of two things. We can either put a child into the job that is a good fit for their personality, or we can purposely put them into a job that isn't, to help grow some of their weaknesses. One of the things that I learned out in the garden with one of our sons, we were working and he just wasn't working. Every time I looked, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And I was getting so frustrated. And finally, I just stopped and I thought, okay, why might he possibly not be doing this? Instead of just assuming that he was being rebellious and purposefully not working or just being lazy, I realized, it dawned on me, he is a little more of an otter personality. He is very much people-oriented and team-oriented. So I asked him, are you struggling to keep working because you like working? You'd rather work with somebody instead of by yourself. And he said, yes, that's exactly right, Mom. Okay, well, I didn't give somebody for him to work with at that point. I said to him, that's totally understandable. I get it. But I want you to practice right now working on your own without anybody around, just for a little while to get some practice at that. So do you see what I did? I took this situation where I could see his personality wanted to do this and kind of, you know, quote unquote, needed this to keep working. And I could have given him a sibling to work with. I had options there as a parent. I got to decide what I thought was best for this child in that situation. And that's the whole point, moms. Having an understanding of our children's personalities isn't a way to excuse sin. It isn't a way to only give them the jobs and the things that they like to do to keep peace in the house, but it is to grow them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these children. Thank you for the variety. Lord, it's just amazing to me, the variety packs we can get, even when we have 8 kids. Thank you for their uniquenesses. Thank you for the way that you hardwired them for plans and purposes that only you know, that will eventually be revealed. I ask that you would give moms wisdom as they sort of dive maybe a little bit more into these personalities, and give them wisdom to know how to take the principles and to implement them in a way that helps them better walk in obedience to you as the parents of these unique, different personalities that you have created, Lord, with different plans and purposes. Lord, we're so thankful that each of us has these set of kids that we have, and you have called us to be the ones to nurture them and to prepare them for all that you have for them, Lord. And so I just pray for peace over these households, and again, for wisdom for each mom listening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's only 7 weeks until the first session of Excel's Summer Leadership Camp, with training in subjects such as critical thinking, wilderness first aid, and CPR that takes place in the context of adventures like rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and camping in the wilderness of Western North Carolina. You don't want your teen to miss out on this camp experience. There will be 5 camp sessions that host 20 campers, 16 to 19 years of age per session. Don't wait on this opportunity to send your teen to the camp of a lifetime. The first camp session begins May 19th, and there are only a few spots left. Head over to theexcelcamp.org to begin the registration process today. Have a great day, moms.